Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has old-time radio on live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel. You can find links to both channels and more on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Chris here with more old-time radio Christmas goodies for you. This week, I have a veritable grab bag of goodies. A little bit of music, a little bit of the classics, and a little bit of laughs. Ho ho! So let's dive right on in.
Christmas Eve, Moonlight Serenade, and Chesterfield Time with Glenn Miller, and he really has a stocking full of tunes.
It's the night before Christmas, and all through the band, we're singing and ringing and rocking the sting. Trumpets are blaring and bursting with pride.
The Chesterfield smokers are satisfied.
Well, I'm speaking for Hutton and the four modern heirs.
It's time to forget all your worries and cares.
So for Ray and for Douglas, in fact, the whole band.
From us, Merry Christmas to all your land.
Through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells,
jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
I don't mind the storm. Bring your coats and hats, you lukewarm cats. I've got my horn to keep me warm.
Down in Mexico, we have got no snow.
You have got no snow.
Down in Mexico, sit around all day, hear the music play. Every time we sing, tequila glasses ring.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
A new delight. One breath That was Sun Valley Jump, just to remind you of our picture of practically the same name, and that takes care of our Christmas Eve serenade. And now for Marion Hutton.
Merry Christmas.
For Ray Eberly.
Merry Christmas.
The Modern Heirs.
Merry Christmas.
For Paul and the boys in the band.
Merry Christmas.
That brings us up to the question and answer department, and tonight's questions and answers will be about a lad that's been singing with our band ever since we started. He's the head man in our romance department, Ray Eberly. Come in here, Ed.
Thanks, Glenn, and good evening, everybody.
Ray, it doesn't seem possible that enough Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays have rolled around to put us into our third year of Moonlight Serenades, does it?
No, Glenn. It doesn't seem like 2 years since I shook through that first program.
Well, I guess we better break this up before you start shaking again. You all ready for some questions?
Shoot.
First, where and how long ago?
If I've got the score right, Hoosick Falls, New York is the where, and how long ago was 1919.
Well, that's not too far back. How about some dope on your singing experience to date?
Well, my mom played piano and my dad used to sing. So I just joined in until you came along. And you know what happened after that, so take it from there.
You want me to break down and tell the real truth?
Maybe you better not.
Well, off the record, I like it, and I think the folks listening in sort of do. Now, how about telling us two or three songs that you like to sing best?
Well, I always liked Barclay Square, To You, and Indian Summer.
Well, those are a lot of swell tunes, and you sang them very swell, Ed. We'll have to dig some of those out of the books and play them for the folks again. Time's up now, and thanks for coming, Ray. Before we go, let me remind you listeners that our Moonlight Serenade three times every week is your program, and you know how well we like to satisfy you. So let us know what you want to hear Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we'll always be glad to play your request. This is Glenn Miller saying goodnight for Marion, Ray, Tex, and the Modern Heirs, and all the boys in the band.
This is the season. My name is Wednesday. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch at a homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I come down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
All the trimmings. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Ever notice what, Frank?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Mm-hmm. Scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them carrot sticks. You know them little carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Olives, pickles, scallions.
Mm-hmm. Let's not go through that again.
Love to have you. Go through what again, Joe?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh. You noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Homicide Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing a guy in a 409-6325-096704.
You mean?
Yeah. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We questioned the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus, a guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, is that right?
Yeah.
You said you didn't believe in Santa Claus?
It's hard to believe what you said. Did you really say that?
Sure I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshot.
Any fingerprints?
Mm-mm, no latent prints. I just know that's all. It's like saying there isn't any Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
Mm-hmm, well, that's your story, mister.
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah, I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister. I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk right out of this room. Because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Yeah, pretty funny. The police department's got nothing else to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail?
I took Grudge over to the helicopter, got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people! But I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care. But I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums. But you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job, get to the North Pole. 11:45 p.m. We arrived at the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Sandy's workshop. Rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short on help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Mm-hmm. That figures.
What a waste of time.
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would come on the one night he's out in the whole year.
Mm-hmm. What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job? Feed them.
Mm-hmm, yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish. Olives, pickles, and them carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
And scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Will you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Mm-hmm.
Man, look at all that stuff.
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man, been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Mm-hmm, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance that this guy can still...
Get the presents? Oh, sure. He gets them all, the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it. I don't want to hear it.
Come on, Mr. Brownie. What's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The Brownie saw us at the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then I believe in Santa Claus and Columbus.
How about Cleveland, Cincinnati, and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
That's about the size of it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Ah, humbug, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, the meeting will come to order, if you please. Are all the advertising people represented here?
Everyone except Amalgamated Cheese. Well,
if they're not here for the Christmas pitch, I can't help them find new ways of tying their product into Christmas. That's why I'm chairman of this board. Let's hear it for me.
Hear, hear, hear!
All right, Abercrombie, what are your people up to?
Oh, same thing as every year. 50,000 billboards showing Santa Claus pausing to refresh himself with our product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the public has come to expect that.
That's right. It's become tradition.
Fine, fine. You there, Crass. I suppose your company's running the usual magazine ad showing cartons of your cigarettes peeking out of the top of Santa's sack?
Better than that.
This year we have him smoking one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Got Santa a little more rugged, too. Both sleeves rolled up and a tattoo on each arm. One of them says, Merry Christmas.
Well, what does the other one say?
Less tars.
Great stuff.
But Mr. Scrooge.
Well, and who are you?
Bob Cratchit, sir. I've got a little spice company over in East Orange, New Jersey. Do I have to tie my product into Christmas?
What do you mean?
Well, I was just going to send cards out showing the three wise men following the Star of Bethlehem.
I get it. And they're bearing your spices. No, that's perfect.
No product in it. I was just going to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Period.
Well, that's a peculiar slogan.
Old hat, Cratchit. That went out with button shoes. You're a businessman. Christmas is something to take advantage of. A red and green bandwagon to jump on. A sentimental shot in the arm for sales. Listen.
Check the halls with advertising. Fa la 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 la. Why you can be enterprising. Fa la 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 la. The fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Four bars of soap.
Three cans of tea.
Two breakfast foods and some toothpaste on a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Five tubeless tires.
Four quarts of gin.
Three cigars.
Two cigarettes and some hair tonic on a pear tree. Chestnuts roasting.
Say, Mother, as sure as there's an X in Christmas, you can be sure those are Tiny Tim chestnuts roasting. Tiny Tim chestnuts are full-bodied, longer-lasting. This visible shell protects the nut. Now with XK29 added for people who can't roast after every meal.
Tiny Tim, chestnuts all the way.
Tiny Tim's roast hot like a chestnut hot. And they are mild.
Words to live by, Cratchit.
Oh, for you, maybe. Can't you just wish someone a Merry Christmas for the pure joy of doing it?
Why? What's the percentage in that? Let me show you how to make Christmas work for you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And please buy our beer.
There you go, Cratchit. That's Christmas with a purpose.
I know, but wait a minute. Don't you guys make enough profit the other 11 months? Christmas comes but once a year.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make. Hit it, boys. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better make hay while the snow is falling. Oh, that's opportunity calling you.
Jingle bells, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Rub your hands, December's here. What a wonderful time to be glad and merry.
But just so you're mercenary, too.
Buy a man and show all the toys. Show all the toys up on the shelf.
Just make sure that you get a plug, you get a plug in for yourself. A Christmas comes but once a year, so you better cash in while the spirit lingers. It's slipping through your fingers, boy. But don't you realize Christmas can be such a monetary joy?
Well, I guess you fellas will never change.
Why should we? Christmas has two S's in it, and they're both dollar signs.
Yeah, but they weren't there to begin with.
Huh?
The people keep hoping you'll remember, but you never do.
Remember what?
Whose birthday we're celebrating.
Well, don't get me wrong. The story of Christmas and its simplicity is a good thing. I buy that. It's just that we know a good thing when we see it.
But don't you realize Christmas has a significance, a meaning?
A sales curve. Wake up, Cratchit. It's later than you think.
I know, Mr. Scrooge. I know.
On the first day of Christmas, the advertising's there. With newspaper ads,
billboards too,
business.
and commercials on a pear tree.
Jingle here, jingle there, jingle all the way.
Dashing through the snow with a 50-foot coupe. O'er the fields we go, sailing all the way. Deck the halls with advertising, what's the use of compromising? La 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 la.
Coronet Little Show. The Coronet Little Show, presenting fact and fiction, dramatized by the Coronet Storyteller. Today we are going back to a Christmas Eve in the 19th century. O. Henry's story of the true Christmas spirit, of love and sacrifice, the gift of the Magi, will be brought to you in just a moment by the Coronet Storyteller. $1.87, that was all. And 60 cents of it was in pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time. Della counted it for the third time.
$1.84, $1.85, $1.86, $1.87.
It was still the same. And the next day would be Christmas. $1.87 with which to buy a present for Jim. Her Jim. There was clearly nothing to do but flop down on the shabby little couch and howl. So Della did it. While Della's sniffles are gradually subsiding, take a look at the vestibule below, where you will see on the letterbox a card bearing the name Mr. James Dillingham Young. The Dillingham had been flung to the breeze during a former period of prosperity, when its possessor was being paid $30 per week. Now, when the income was shrunk to $20, the letters of Dillingham looked blurred, as though they were thinking seriously of contracting to a modest and unassuming D. But whenever Mr. James Dillingham Young came home and reached his flat above, he was called Jim and greatly hugged by Mrs. James Dillingham Young. That's Della. She has now finished her cry and is looking into the pier glass, attending to her cheeks with a powder rag. Suddenly, as she stands before the glass, she pulls down her hair and lets it fall to its full length. Now, there were two possessions of the James Dillingham Youngs in which they both took a mighty pride. One was Jim's gold watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair, which now ripples about her, shining like a cascade of brown waters and reaching below her knee. Her eyes are brilliant, but her face has lost its color. Nervously and quickly, she does her hair up again, slips into her old brown jacket, puts on her old brown hat, and in the twinkling of an eye, she is halfway down the stairs and out on the street. Della has a determined, almost desperate look as she sights a sign reading, Madam Sofroni, hair goods of all kinds. She stops quickly, then opens the door, which leads to a flight of stairs. Della rushes panting up the stairs and plumb into the portly figure of Madame Sofroni.
Will you buy my hair?
I buy hair? Take your hat off. That's of a sight of the looks of it.
Down ripples the brown cascade.
$20.
All right. Only quickly, please.
In a
moments, the implacable Madame Sofroni and her scissors have done the job. And Della, minus her hair, but richer by $20, flees from the store into the street again. This time, she's looking for a different store, a store in which to buy, not to sell. At last, she finds herself in a department store in the midst of a gay holiday throng. At the jewelry counter, as she longingly handles a platinum chain, she hesitantly asks,
"You did say $21, didn't you?" "What I thought."
"This is it. This is the present just made for Jim and no one else. There's no other like it in any of the stores." She knows, for she turned all of them inside out. It's a platinum fob chain, simple and chaste in design. Della has made her mind up.
"I'll take it."
With the chain wrapped in a holiday box and clutched in her eager hand, Della finds herself again out on the street. This time she is in such a rosy glow, she hardly notices the other last-minute shoppers hurrying by, the street trio playing Christmas carols, the old gentleman who tries to sell her a holly wreath. It seems but seconds until she is back in the little furnished flat again. There's a sudden shock as the pier glass confronts her, this time accusingly. Now comes the moment of reckoning. As she gazes with dismay at the short ends of her hair, the rosy glow gives way to prudence and reason. Out comes the curling iron, on with the gas jet, as she sets to work repairing the ravages made by generosity and love. In 40 minutes, she finishes with the last curl lying tiny and close to her head, making her look wonderfully like a truant schoolboy. But to Della, gazing critically at herself in the pier glass, the result is anything but wonderful.
"If Jim doesn't kill me first, you'll say I look like a Coney Island chorus girl."
But no more time for reflections, physical or mental. It's nearly 7, and Jim is never late. She sits nervously waiting for Jim. Now she hears his steps on the stair way down on the first flight. She has a habit of saying silent little prayers about the simplest everyday things. And now she whispers,
"Please, God, make him not mind my hair so much. Make him think I'm still pretty."
The door opens, and Jim steps in and closes. He has a smile of welcome on his face as he glances around the room for Della. But the smile freezes on his lips as he suddenly sees her sitting on the corner of the table. An expression comes into his eyes as immovable as a setter dog at the scent of quail. The expression terrifies Della, who is expecting anger, surprise, disapproval, or even horror. But not this look of... Della wriggles off the table and goes to him.
"Jim, darling, don't look at me that way. I had my hair cut off and sold it because I couldn't have lived through Christmas without giving you a present. It'll grow out again. You won't mind, will you? I just had to do it. My hair grows awfully fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let's be happy. And wait till you see the beautiful gift I got for you."
Della rattled on like that. But after she was all through, all Jim could ask laboriously was, "You've cut off your hair." Della tried again, this time more patiently.
"Sold, I tell you. Sold and gone, too. And it went for you, Jim. Maybe the hairs of my head were numbered, but nobody could ever count my love for you. Now, shall we have supper?"
At last, Jim seemed to wake out of his trance. He enfolded Della in his arms. And then he carefully draws a package from his overcoat pocket and throws it on the table. Nimble fingers quickly tear open the string and paper. And then...
"Oh, Jim, they're beautiful. How did you know they're what I've always wanted? No. My hair. My hair. Oh, Jim, how can I wear them?"
There they lay. The combs. The set Della had worshipped for so long in an exclusive shop window. Pure tortoiseshell with jeweled rims. Just the shade to wear in the beautiful and vanished hair. They were expensive combs, Della knew. And her heart had craved and yearned over them without the least hope of possession. And now Della hugs them to her and looks up at Jim with dim eyes and a smile.
"My hair grows so fast, Jim."
Then Della puts the combs down carefully, lovingly, and even more radiantly prepares to show Jim his gift. She holds it out to him eagerly on outstretched palm. The dull, precious metal gleams and glows, entirely satisfied with its own value.
Isn't it a beauty, Jim? You'll have to look at the time every 15 minutes now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks with the chain.
For answer, Jim sits down suddenly on the couch. Dell, he says, let's put our Christmas presents away and keep them a while. I sold the watch to get money to buy your combs. Now, how about supper? The Magi, as you know, were wise men who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in case of duplication. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, these foolish ones were the wisest. They are the Magi. You have just heard O. Henry's Gift of the Magi, which was brought to you by your Coronet storyteller. The Gift of the Magi is just one of the many interesting stories and articles in the December issue of Coronet magazine. How much do you know about Christmas? Don't be too sure until you've taken the Merry Christmas quiz in the December issue of Coronet magazine. How many reindeer does Santa Claus drive? What is the famous Christmas opera? What well-known actor plays the role of Old Scrooge on the radio? These are three of the 25 questions in the Coronet Merry Christmas Quiz. And now, here is your Coronet storyteller with his postscript from the pages of Coronet magazine. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another story from the pages of Coronet magazine. The Curse of the Baccaro. Remember, next week, The Curse of the Baccaro, brought to you by the Coronet Storyteller on the Coronet Little Show. This is Mutual.
Another Christmas Seal show starring Fibber McGee and Molly, brought to you by your local Tuberculosis Association. It snowed last night in Westville Vista, a beautiful thick carpet of white. And the town looks like a Christmas card. Standing on the front walk at number 79, Mrs. McGee thinks she has never seen such a lovely sight. And Mr. McGee, just listen to what he thinks of the beautiful snow.
Stuff. Snow. All it causes is trouble. Wet feet, traffic jams, hard work. Snow. Why do we have to have it? What's it good for?
How much did you pay for that snow shovel?
$3.
If we never have any snow, it would be stupid to buy a snow shovel, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, but...
So, that's what snow is good for. It proves you are not so stupid.
Hey, it does at that, don't
it? Why, sure it does.
Ain't that a wonderful thought? Thousands of tons of snow all over the country just to prove that I ain't stupid. Kind of makes you stop and think, don't it? I sometimes...
What's the matter?
I'm just listening for the phone. That guy ever call again?
Who?
I don't know.
Well, then what guy are you talking about?
The guy that phoned this morning while you were taking out the ashes and I was in the shower, and by the time I got up from slipping on the soap and got downstairs, it stopped ringing. You know, the guy that the next time he called, I was in the basement getting the snow shovel out from under 3 tons of coal, that they dumped it down the chute while I was playing in the Elks pool tournament last week and they didn't know the snow shovel was there. That guy.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
No, I haven't gotten a call all morning. Who was it?
Oh, I don't know, but it must be urgent. Hey, you think maybe it was the pot of gold?
I doubt it. Huh? They've been off the air for several years.
Oh. Well, our phone's been busy a lot. Hey, that's it. I bet it's one of them quiz shows.
Oh, McGee, I don't think
Look,
so.
Look, let's be logical. Are you expecting a call from a quiz show?
No, I'm not.
Well, neither am I. And one of them guys always call. When you're not expecting it, that's when. Boy, oh, boy. Keep listening, Molly. Keep listening.
All right, all right. You shovel. I'll listen.
Okay. Whew. Ah, this is hard work. How can anything that looks so light weigh so much?
The paper commented on that this morning, dear.
You did?
Yes. The paper said this was the heaviest snow we've had for a long time. By the way, why the extra shovel on the porch?
Oh, that. Well, I change off. When this one gets too hot, I use that one.
Oh. McGee, the phone. The telephone, McGee.
The phone. That's it. That's the guy that... I'll get it. Dreaded snow shovel.
Heavenly day. Here, let me help you up. Are you hurt?
I don't know yet. Answer the phone, will you? I'll get up later. Quick, the phone.
I can't get in the house. You're lying across the door.
Well, kick me out of the way before the phone stops.
It stopped.
Oh,
my. Uh-oh, there's the phone again, McGee. I'll get it this time.
No, I'll get it. Must be for me. I'll get it. Dad-ratted snow shovel.
Sweetheart, dearie, are you hurt?
No, I don't think so. Quick, help me up so I can answer the... Ain't that the doggonest? Who do you suppose it is?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Me either. That's what got me worried. Hey, do you suppose anything wonderful has happened to your rich Aunt Sarah? Like she's fell off the roof, maybe?
No, and get that happy look off of your face.
Just a thought.
You know, I will say for you, dearie, that you're doing a fine job.
What say, kiddo?
I say, here comes Dr. Gamble. Oh. Hello, doctor.
Oh, hi, Doc.
Hello, Molly, and good day to you, muscle-bound.
Hmm. What do you mean, muscle-bound? I at least can lean over and see where I've been shoveling without stepping back 3 paces. That's more than you could do. With that steak and potatoes veranda of yours, it's a wonder you ever know if your socks match.
Anyway, at your age, I'd suggest you leave the hard physical work to somebody...
Hey, telephone. It's ringing.
I'll answer it, McGee. You stay here and talk to...
No. It's for me. I'm sure. I'll get it.
The poor lad. Come on, doctor. I think we need you.
He doesn't need me after a fall like that. He needs 6 muscular friends and a brief eulogy by somebody who doesn't know him too well.
Help me up, somebody. I got to answer that phone.
Too late, dearie. It stopped ringing.
Hmm.
Are you hurt badly? Look him over, will you, doctor?
I've been looking him over for a number of years, and he gets no prettier. Think you busted anything, Strawfoot?
I think I busted everything. Look at that bone sticking out there. Look at that. What's that, my clavicle?
That's the handle of your snow shovel.
Oh.
Doctor, is he all right?
Yeah, sit up, Graceful. Now, take a deep breath. What's your idea of a deep breath? I hope you never have to swim across a finger bowl underwater. I'll take a deep one. You're all right, child of brain, just skinned and bruised.
I better quit snuggling show for today, huh?
Who said that?
McGee did.
Better take it easy, huh? Relax.
Certainly not. Get back and shovel. Loosen up those stiff muscles.
Huh?
Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get back to the hospital. Accident case.
Oh, what kind, Lardo?
Man slipped and fell down with his neck across his snow shovel and broke it in two pieces. Well, so long.
Did he mean his...
Gee, I didn't have the nerve to ask.
Can you guess the Christmas gift that's given most? No, not candy, not jewelry, and it isn't exactly right for a stocking. But it's Christmas seals, of course. Yes, when you make your purchase of the Christmas seal with the double-barred cross, you're joining with more than 12 million American families in giving a gift of health to your fellow man and to yourself. So remember this, when you purchase your Christmas seal, you're choosing a gift that's given most and gives the most. And if that isn't the true spirit of Christmas, I'll clean out Fibber McGee's closet. Yes, friends, let's all get behind the Christmas Seal life-saving program. Buy and use all the Christmas seals you can. And now, back to Fibber McGee and Molly.
How does your back feel now, dearie? Better?
No. No, but my leg hurts so bad I don't notice my back anymore. You ought to see my knees. They look like I've been shooting craps on a pile of broken glass.
Look, sweetheart, why don't you go in and lie down? Then if the phone rings...
No, sir. I started this job, and by George, I'm going to finish it. At this point, I don't care if that dreaded phone never rings again. I wouldn't answer that phone now if it was...
No, sweetheart. No, it didn't ring.
I thought I heard it. Anyhow, like I... Oh, hey. Take that extra shovel off the steps there and get it out of the way, will you?
With pleasure. I'll drop it here in the snow.
Good.
There. At least that's one hazard you don't have to worry about. Oh, look, McGee, the lad on the sled.
Huh?
Coming down the hill. Watch it. Look out, Sonny.
Hey, look out there, boy. My gosh, look at him. Roll right into a snowbank.
Head over shoelaces.
Yeah, well, come on, help him up, kiddo. Oh, it hurts me just to look at a fall like that. Help
here, Sonny, give me your hand now.
Well, yeah. Thanks, daughter. Well, hello there, kid. Hi, daughter. Hi, Johnny.
Well, for the...
Heavenly days, it's the old-timer.
Hi, old-timer.
Hey, you want to go belly-busting, Johnny?
You know, that might be a nice switch at that, McGee.
You said it. I've busted everything else so far. No thanks, old-timer. I got to clean off this sidewalk in case it freezes tonight. Liable to get slick.
Well, it can be dangerous, Johnny. I spread ashes around our front porch this morning myself. Some folks use gravel. What do you spread on your front steps, kids?
McGee.
Huh?
He said what he had spread on the steps. You know, the phone keeps ringing, Mr. Oldtimer, and every time McGee hits that porch, he spreads out like a pat of butter on a hot waffle.
Well, the boy's kind of fumble-footed, daughter. He don't keep in condition. You ought to do like me, Johnny. First thing I do every morning is hop into a cold shower for 10 minutes. Tones me up.
No kidding. You stand under a cold shower in this weather?
Yep. One of these days I'm going to get up the nerve to turn it on, too. I always claimed that, hey...
What is it?
Well, there's a snow shovel laying out here in the yard, kids. Liable to lose it that way.
Yeah, we know. We put it there, so just...
I better put it over here on the
floor. No, don't you bother now. We want it left
out
here.
No, no. No, no. That's it. That's the phone.
I'll get it on the steps here where you kids can find it when you want it.
That ratted snow shovel.
Dear, oh, dear, McGee.
Johnny!
Yeah?
The phone's ringing. Never mind. They hung up.
Oh. Oh. Oh, my aching everything.
Now, you just stay there on the Davenport, sweetheart. You'll be all right. Can I get you anything?
No, I'll just lay here and listen for the phone. Whoever that is going to get a hunk of my mind that... There it is. That's it. I'll get it.
No.
Hello?
Hello, this is McGee. Hello.
Oh, no, dearie. That's the doorbell.
Oh.
Here. Let Mother help you back on the divan. You mustn't exert yourself like that. Oh, come on in.
Good afternoon to you both. You, Mr. and Mrs. McGee.
Yes, we are, bud. Whatever you want, I'm pretty busy right now. I'm waiting for a phone call, and I...
This will only take a few minutes, Mr. McGee. I've been phoning you all day, but I couldn't...
You! You mean you're the guy that's been phoning me all day? Well, come on. What is it? What do you want?
Mr. McGee, I just wanted to ask you one important question.
Yeah, bud, shoot, bud. What is it?
Well, I'm with the Life and Limb Insurance Company. How are you fixed for accident insurance?
Molly, hand me my shotgun out of the closet, will you? Hurry, because this guy may get away before I get...
Gladly, dearie. Don't go away now, sir.
Well, I can see you're in no mood to talk insurance today, Mr. McGee. I'll see you later. Call me if I can...
Oh. Here, watch out for the snow shovel, sir.
Look at him bounce.
Say, you know something, Molly?
I know you'd better take out some insurance, dearie.
This darn shovel. No, but this is more important, Molly. Do you know that this is the 45th birthday of the Christmas seal?
Well, so it is, bless its heart.
Yep.
And I do mean heart. The Christmas seal has more heart in it than anything else I can think of. Why, do you know what the sale of Christmas seals accomplished, McGee?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's already helped the Tuberculosis Association save more than 5 million lives, it has.
Don't you think I know?
And what do you think pays for all those chest X-ray campaigns? Health education, rehabilitation, and medical research of the Tuberculosis Association if it isn't the Christmas seals you and me and all the rest of the folks buy?
That's what I'm trying to find out, Molly. How many seals
and
have...
And Christmas seals are right in my insurance plan for you.
Your insurance plan? For me?
Yes, dearie. This is one insurance nobody can afford to be without.
Oh, sure. But Molly is right, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas seals are wonderful insurance every American can buy.
Your Christmas Seal Show, starring Fibber McGee and Molly, is presented by your local Tuberculosis Association. This program was made possible through the courtesy of the American Federation of Radio Artists and the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, President. Fibber and Molly and the rest of us here wish all of you out there a very Merry Christmas with lots of greetings and gifts. All of them, of course, decorated with Christmas seals. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking.